This is 50 Miles Per Hour.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
There's a bomb on a bus.
You're deeply nuts, you know that?
Once the bus goes 50 miles an hour, the bomb is armed.
Stay on or get off.
If it drops below 50,
stay on or get off.
It blows up.
Oh, darn.
What do you do?
You have a hair trigger aimed at your head. What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
I'm your host, Chris Tapley, and you're listening to an oral history of director Jan de Bont's 1994 summer blockbuster, Speed, straight from the people who made it happen. Now, don't forget to fasten your seatbelts. Let's hit the road.
Don't ask me why we ever made Speed 2. That was just the stupidest movie on the planet.
That's casting director Risa Brayman Garcia coming in hot with the thesis of today's episode. And look, a podcast about the making and legacy of Speed has to, at some point, wrangle with the darker side of that legacy, right? And so we come at last to the account of Speed 2 Cruise Control, director Jan de Bont's ill-conceived, ill-fated follow-up to the film that thrust him onto the A-list of action filmmaker talent. Here's second unit director Alexander Witt with another quick testimonial.
I mean, we all had a very good time in the Caribbean and all that, but unfortunately the film didn't work. And I don't think that many people want to talk about that one.
Yeah, you get this kind of refrain over and over again when you bring up Speed 2. It did not work at all, and no one, well, almost no one, enjoyed the experience. The film would star a returning Sandra Bullock in the role of Annie, ostensibly the same character we met in Speed, but so utterly ruined on the page that she bears almost no resemblance. Actor Keanu Reeves would bow out, leaving Fox to search for another leading man. Enter Jason Patrick, son of actor Jason Miller and the star of movies like The Lost Boys, Rush, and Sleepers at the time. Patrick would play Officer Alex Shaw, a cheap imitation of Jack Traven, and I guess Annie has a type, because he's her new beau. And he somehow has the same LAPD boss as Jack, but more on that in a minute. I really don't want to go on about this, but to sum it up, Annie and Alex find themselves on a cruise ship where a computer hacker played by Willem Dafoe has broken into the computer system and set the boat speeding on a collision course with a gigantic oil tanker. The film was budgeted at a gargantuan, for the time, $100 million, with some contemporaneous reports suggesting that number ballooned to as much as $160 million. The film arrived in theaters on June 13, 1997, and it ultimately netted $164 million worldwide. So, you can do the math on that. Jan would come back to not only helm this disaster, but to co-write and produce as well, and so he gets a lot of the credit for the final result. Therefore, let's start by putting him on the hot seat. And I'm just going to let Jan go on for a while here to give you as full a picture from his perspective as I can.
I was never going to do Speed 2, and I never had a contract for Speed 2, which at least I didn't know I had a contract for Speed 2. And I said, no, that's ridiculous. This is a one-time thing. You cannot really... And then somebody came up, it's in your contract, in my contract. And clearly I hadn't read that, and my agent hadn't told me that either. But then, of course, the first thing that came to mind, well, we have to get the same actors back. Good luck with that, because they have to be right for that movie. It cannot be always the same actors playing the same part in different situations. You know, that becomes a TV series, more or less. And of course, then we found out that Keanu didn't want to do it. He was absolutely not interested in the sequel, although he later, of course, he did many sequels and his own work and other things. And then we started, had multiple writers, and they all wanted to, the studio was really setting us each time a little bit on the wrong track, what they wanted. And to me, what I kind of liked in Speed in a way is like a small, everything was about the regular things, you know, like a bus, a car, and an elevator. Nothing special about all those things. The train. And I don't know who actually came up with the idea of the boat, but there were several writers involved in it. And I don't ask me which they all were, because I don't remember right now. And then before we knew, it got bigger and bigger. I mean, of course, nobody also realized how hard it is to work a goddamn ship, no? And the ship that had to be built, I mean, or had to be adapted from a real ship, and it had to be able to go on land, and all those things that ships don't do, and then became so expensive so quickly when people started making a budget. They say, oh, shit, man. And then I was really worried about, they said, you need really need a star. But then nobody wanted to, actors didn't want to really play Keanu's part because they knew that they were all going to compare to him and they would never come up favorably because it's just a unique character, unique individual, that it's really hard to compete with something that really worked very well. So it was really hard to find an actor. I mean, it took a long time to really find finally somebody who was willing to do it. And we had this little bit of a test with Sandra, if there was kind of a chemistry between them. And it was kind of so-so. But at the same time, the start date was coming closer and closer and closer. And the casting agents, they did the best. And it had to be also a young actor too, you know. In those days, there were like not that many of them. And it just didn't work. And we just had to make it work, you know. And that's difficult. And then we got in so many financial trouble right from the beginning. Because, see, what I liked about Speed is that it was made for $35 million. And this was going to be almost three times that much, which is like, you know, at that time, it was a lot of money. And it was extremely risky. And I said, maybe we shouldn't do the movie. And thought, no, we have to. Absolutely want it because it's so successful. People like it. They're, well, it was a ship. That's when I talked to some people who had worked on movies that had boats in them. And they all say, it will be so much more expensive than you guys think. And I told the production manager, I said, you have to really talk to those people because it's really complicated. You cannot move that boat if you want to go back to one. That takes about an hour for the ship to go around. It cannot make a quick turn. And I was like, oh, no. And I was like, really, really, really difficult.
All right, let's drag the studio into this. Here's Bill Mechanic, former chairman of Fox Filmed Entertainment.
I think I'm the one to blame because I think when I saw that first cut up Speed, I said we should sequel it. And then when we were getting ready to make it, tried to block it. And then there was a change of, you know, Peter Turner went upstairs. So I went from president to chairman and actually stopped production for 3 days or something. There were hurricanes or something going on Speed 2 and tried to shut the movie down, but nobody wanted to do the write down on it. I just didn't think Speed 2 made sense. But Jan wasn't like uncooperative or anything like that. You know, to me, it was more the issue of I didn't think the script made sense vis-a-vis what worked in Speed. And then Keanu, you know, didn't sign on. You know, Sandy did. But I just thought you're making a sequel because you want to make a sequel, which doesn't make any sense to me. I lost a lot of money.
It lost a lot of money. How much money are we talking about?
A lot. Probably close to $50 million or something.
Holy shit. Okay, you look at the credits and you see a lot of the same names. So what went wrong? Funny thing about that. See, that's how contracts work. Screenwriter Graham Yost gets a credit. Producer Mark Gordon gets a credit. But in the final analysis, they had absolutely nothing to do with Speed 2. Here's Graham.
I was not invited to a party I didn't want to go to. Mark and I kicked around ideas. I'd had an idea that I didn't know if it would be the same cast. It might be too convoluted to do it, but that there would be one would be a thing with a boat filled with wartime phosphorus-based explosives and that can't get wet or it's going to release horrible chemicals and explode and all this shit. And it's going through a typhoon in the South China Sea. And I was going to call that Full Speed. And then the other one was another terrorist-related thing of a plane that can't come below 10,000 feet and can't rise above, and it's got to go through the Andes, can't go above 15.
Oh, while we're talking about alternate plots for Speed 2, I'd love to bring back someone we haven't heard from since the third episode of 50 Miles Per Hour. Speed's co-producer, Allison Lyon Segan, who played a huge role in connecting Graham and his original Speed script to Mark Gordon in the first place.
Well, nobody liked my idea for Speed 2. Okay, so my idea for Speed 2, I wanted to do a movie about the Paris to Dakar road rally, which I was obsessed with. And nobody really liked the idea of turning that into any movie, let alone Speed 2. But I thought it would be great if Keanu and Sandra were in the Paris to Dakar road rally. To me, Speed on an ocean liner was like an SNL skit. I never saw the movie.
I only saw it once in Westwood and went to see it with Mark and Mikhail Solomon, who directed Hard Rain. And we were standing outside getting our tickets, and a carload of people and young men in a convertible go by, and they say, "Don't see it, it sucks." And Mark and I looked at each other and we went, "Yeah, let's go." Really? It's going 10 knots? It's the Caribbean. Just jump off and wait till someone pushes out a raft with a Mai Tai on it.
And here is producer Mark Gordon.
Jan had no experience developing material at all. After Speed, he was given the keys to the kingdom. So he made Twister, and then they gave him pretty much complete control over Speed 2, which I had nothing to do with. I don't know whether it was personal or just a guy who, after the success of that movie, his head blew up so big and fat that he couldn't get it through the door. Look, here's the truth. I was invited off of Speed 2. Our relationship was really not very good. He went to the studio when they wanted to do Speed 2 and said, "I don't want to work with this producer." And I wasn't particularly disappointed because, you know, only in Hollywood, you know, they had to pay me. I wish that I had a better relationship with him and we could have made a movie together. But what I think Jan is good at is directing action. Clearly, what his strength was not was developing material from scratch, because Speed 2 was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And not only a bad movie, incredibly ill-conceived.
On the point of Mark being disinvited, here's Bill Mechanic.
I don't know that it was pushing everybody out as much as, you know, the ego was definitely bigger. But again, he was very cooperative with the studio. It wasn't, you know, I think it's the studio's fault in terms of the, you know, the studios want to make the decision that you're going to make this script or not. The idea of a boat going fast and you can't get off is not as clear cut as a bus going fast and you know you can't get off. They were trying to replicate, and I just felt that it just didn't do it. It was not a smart movie.
Okay, so obviously the first big domino to fall here was Keanu Reeves opting out. Here's what he had to say about that when I spoke to him about all this stuff a decade ago.
Yeah, for me, it was, it was about the script. I was totally fine with doing a sequel. I loved the experience of working with Sandra, and, you know, who was amazing in the film. Such a bright light. And again, the reality that she brought and the vulnerability. And I thought we made a great couple. And I loved Jan. But, you know, when I was at the time working on a show that was kind of also action-oriented, and I was a bit tired. And when I read the script, you know, to me, it just didn't deliver fundamentally. I felt like a film called Speed on an ocean liner was kind of counterintuitive. But yeah, it was just at the time, just where I was at. I was physically exhausted from this other show, and with the script, I didn't feel like it was quite there. And at the time, I just couldn't get on the boat.
Second unit director Alexander Witt.
That was the first mistake. When Keanu told him no, he should have said, "Okay, maybe I shouldn't do it."
Actress Loida Ramos, one of the bus passengers in Speed.
Once Keanu said no, she should have said no fucking way, you know. And I don't know why you wouldn't get that. It was the two of them that worked, you know. And a boat, I mean, really, a boat, you know. She goes on record saying it's like the biggest regret of her life, you know. Which must make Jason feel like shit, but oh well. You know, it's like, it is what it is, you know.
Indeed, I wish I had literally any soundbite of Sandra Bullock talking about Speed 2, but I don't. It's sort of a running gag with her. Anytime you say, you know, let's talk about Speed, she always comes back with, sure, but not Speed 2, right? Anyway, here's casting director Risa Brayman Garcia on the point of Jason Patrick.
I don't know what we were thinking, and we paid him way too much money. I don't know what that was about. That was nuts. But, you know, Keanu didn't leave with a lot of time, you know. I don't know why they made the movie at that point. When Keanu left, it was like there was no script to begin with. And so why would you make that movie? And it was a bad idea on a ship. And also, Keanu was gone. Like, there was no point in making that movie. That movie was never going to work.
By the way, a few other actors from Speed turned down the opportunity to star in Speed 2 as well. Let's start with Alan Ruck. You remember him, Stevens, the G-golly tourist from Speed who found himself getting way more than a morning bus ride in the first movie.
I think he kind of considered me a lucky charm. That's how I got the job on Twister. I didn't even have to audition. He's like, no, I want you in this picture. I want you in this picture. And so that was great. And then he did Speed 2, and I was cast at exactly the same time in Spin City. And he's like, I want you to come down with in the Caribbean. We're going to do Speed 2. And I'm like, Jan, I got this opportunity, man. I'm going to go do a television show. No, you can't do a television show. You got to do movies. You know, and I dodged a big bullet because that movie tanked so hard.
So what was the idea here? Jan wanted Alan to come back and reprise the role of Stevens? Wrong place, wrong time, yet again?
Yeah, that was the gag. It's like everywhere this poor schmuck from Chicago went, the shit hit the fan, you know. I've already seen the airport, all that funny stuff, you know. And then he's going to take a Caribbean cruise, and he's just like, what? I think it would have been good for like one good laugh. And then I don't think my presence would have saved that film. They all can't be gold.
No doubt. And then there was Patrick Fischler, one of the actors in the elevator at the beginning of Speed. He too was offered a role in Speed 2, as by then he had become part of Jan's stable.
I mean, I went on to work with Jan again because I was in Twister. It was right after Speed, and I was like, yes, 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 whatever. But we saw like half a script, and I was on the bad guy team, so we were told there's going to be stuff to do, and there wasn't. So I think I was gone for 3.5 months, and I worked maybe 8 days in 3.5 months. I just sat in Iowa, you know what I mean, and sat in Oklahoma. And look, who cares? But also, I cared. Like, I wanted to be with my, you know, my life in L.A., and I was just sitting in Oklahoma. But we all bonded, that group, crazy bonded on Twister. Like, you could do an incredible thing about Twister, by the way. Side note. Because there's such incredible, not to dismiss Speed, but great actors in Twister. Like, it's weird. And I remember thinking at the time, what a good group of actors. So we all really bonded. And then I actually got offered a part in Speed 2 and said no. And I think people were kind of angry with me at the time, including Risa, who I would be fine saying that right to her. I think she was pissed. Jan was pissed. But I had such a hard time on Twister that I felt like at that time I'm 25 and I just thought, I can't go live on a cruise ship. And I just was like, I got to say no, which all my friends couldn't believe that I was saying no because, you know, we were all just sort of hungry actors.
And no, he was not going to reprise the role of young executive here, in case you were wondering.
Mine was not the same part. Mine was like a guy who worked on the boat. Honestly, it was one of those like, and look, you know, they were all lovely about it, but I was just like, I'm good. I got to stay at home. I mean, I saw it in the theaters. I remember being like, oh yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Cause that movie was rough. I just remember the biggest fault of the whole thing. There's so many things wrong with it, but the idea of a boat going at that, it was just so not thrilling.
And yeah, I don't care if it's repetitive. I've decided I'm going to leave every single instance of that particular criticism in this episode. Anyway, on the other side of things, there were a few Speed actors like Sandra Bullock who weren't so lucky as to dodge the bullet of Speed 2. Let's start with Susan Barnes, another actor in the elevator at the beginning of Speed. She took a larger, different role in Speed 2. No, she's not playing the same lady who was scared to get off the elevator, though who knows? In this one, she's a big smoker. Maybe her nerves were shot after that elevator experience. Anyway, here's Susan.
He really liked me, you know, enough to just, he just called me in, had me do a little bit of improv, and then I had the job. But the second film was a difficult film. The egos were up, and I don't mean any of the actors at all, but I mean, Jan had hit with two big films. He'd hit with Speed, the first Speed, and then Twister. So, you know, he really sort of ran the show, but I don't know. Eventually, the producer was fired, I think.
A bit of a record scratch for me there, because I don't think I ever knew about that. So I asked Jan if he recalls a producer getting fired off the project.
Yeah, I think when we were filming in Miami, there were illegal financial discrepancies that were not quite taken care of. I mean, that's all that happens behind my back. And I, of course, I had nothing to do with that, but that makes it also hard. Then with the union, and suddenly the union all wanted to have more money. They felt like they all could ask for more. And unfortunately, by caving in, they all got it, you know? It's just not a good thing to do. And the producers were all there, and the line producers and the Fox producers were all there. They knew what's happening. And they couldn't stop it either, because then they found out for that one ship that was going to go on shore, they had found one that they could rent. But then they found that the captain was a complete drunk. And so he started to blackmail us for everything he had to do. So each time we had to ask him something, he said, no, I need this and this and that. It was quite a lot of money. Sometimes it was women. It was really ridiculous. It was really, really unpleasant. But at the same time, I had to make the movie. I cannot really just give up.
All right. Lots to unpack there. And I don't have it in me. I'll leave that to whoever wants to do a Speed 2 podcast. Call it 10 knots and do 10 episodes. Make it a quickie. I'm happy to help, but I ain't the one. Anyway, back over to Susan Barnes.
So there was like a discord about it almost from the beginning, but not long after we got there on the island. So I don't know that anybody liked anybody. I mean, I made friends, you know, I mean, but it was a whole different atmosphere all the way around. It was a very different dynamic as well, because Keanu is also, you know, really stand up and lovely guy. But Jason Patrick had a different energy about him. So the relationship I felt that got developed but not acted on in Speed, that connection they had in Speed 2, that connection with the actor was not like the people on Speed. Film is like dance to me, and that was my first discipline. I was a serious dancer, and it has its own rhythm, its own pace, and connection. And if you're not all three, then you're kind of screwed. They were all there with Keanu and Sandra. But by virtue of the script, even, you know, they separated them. They didn't have that connection. But Jason's a different guy from Keanu, too. Jason, his energy sort of infiltrated. And it wasn't Keanu, I'll say that.
One thing Susan says she did not mind was 16 weeks in the Caribbean. Also, you might recall the cast was sort of divided into separate disasters in the film. Not everyone is caught up in the same elements, and she counts her blessings on that as well.
And I appreciated that my disaster did not work in the water or at night. And so, you know, there were all these good things about it, but it just didn't work. It just didn't.
Then there was Joe Morton. You might recall he returned in the role of Lieutenant Herb Mac McMahon. Again, somehow Officer Alex Shaw has the same boss as Jack Traven, and now, the same girlfriend. But anyway, don't look for Joe in the credits.
Speed 2 is just, I have to say, it was just a terrible script. But I said, I'll do it, but I don't want my name on the credits. And I did it primarily for the money. They said they just needed some recognizable faces at the top of the movie. So I said, fine, I'll do that. But it was so bad, I don't think I even finished reading the script. And the money was really good for the few days that I needed to be there, but that was it. I mean, it would have been great if Keanu did it because they could have built on the relationship between he and Sandra. But the fact that he wasn't there and, that ending of the boat crashing into the pier, it just was terrible. It just didn't work. I think they just didn't know how to, if Keanu wasn't going to do it, they didn't know how to keep his image, if you will. For me, it was an opportunity to make a lot of extra cash for a few days' work. So I thought, well, I'll do that as long as they agree that my name won't be in the credits.
But there was one actor from Speed who came back for Speed 2 and reprised his role in a major way in the film's third act. That's right, it's the Toon Man himself, the Jaguar owner, Glenn Plummer. This time he actually gets a name, Maurice. And he's there on the island, living it up when this runaway cruise ship comes barreling into shore. A ridiculous finale has him racing to rescue our heroes amid all the explosions. And Glenn, by the way, was the one person in the whole world who actually had a good time on this movie.
I went there in September, and we didn't finish filming that movie till February 24th, I think. February 22nd, we finished that movie. That's how long I was on the Caribbean. Just 3 months of funning and sunning, because I got there in September. They didn't get there till the end of October. They were stuck out on the water. You know, Jan DeMont wanted the perfect shot, so they were out there on that cruise ship doing God knows what. And I was on the island living it up.
By the way, Susan backs up this account in the funniest way.
Oh, my God, yes. He never showed up on time, ever. Never, ever. First day on. And he kept saying to me, hey, we're in the Caribbean, come on, get out, let's have some fun. It was like, oh, my God. Every night, yeah. And sometimes they didn't know where he was, honestly. And that's a small island.
Dude, honestly, my character didn't need to be in the movie. The movie was over when the boat hit the island. The movie was done. It was finished. There was no more movie after that cruise ship hit the island. It was over. But to work on that movie was just a blast. And I always imagine sequels are like that. They don't make sequels to try and make them better than the first movie. They make them because they're going to be these big spectacles and everybody's going to go see them if they like the first one. That's all. It's like, oh, Speed 2, yeah. Everybody piles in. They put a lot of trailer moments in a movie. And you sit there going, wow, look at the explosion. Look at the fast cars. Look at the big boat. You sit there and, you get to have a cinematic experience if it's at the movie theater, And then if you get to make it, it's great because, I was in that movie all of 5 minutes also. I ain't even going to tell you how much they paid me. And to top it off, when they offered me the job, they offered me a certain amount of money. And I told my agent to call Mark. I was like, no, I'm not doing a movie for that much money. Call Mark. Mark will tell you. So they called Mark Gordon. And Mark Gordon told the business affairs people to pay me whatever I wanted. I swear to you. He said, pay him whatever he wants. So, yeah, that's how that went down.
I really have to stick with Glenn for a while here. I mean, you want to hear this guy talk about Speed 2 some more. Settle in for this anecdote. It's the longest one I think I've ever passed along here.
There's a scene in that movie where the ship explodes. And me and Sandra and Jason Patrick are in a boat with the girl, my girlfriend, and we're driving away. The first time we did that, he blew us up. When I tell you he blew us up to the point where the boat flipped over. It didn't flip over, but it flipped up. And Sandra and Jason ended up in the water. The only reason I didn't end up in the water is because I was holding the steering wheel. And the only reason the girl didn't end up in the water because she had her arms wrapped around my neck. It was that big of an explosion. I had to drive that boat. They didn't give me any time to learn how to drive a boat. I told them I'd never driven a boat before. They gave me a boat with a prop on it. Didn't have a rudder. It only had a propeller. The difference between driving a boat with a prop and a rudder is like driving a car with power steering and driving a car with no power steering. It's like untightening a valve on a pressure tank on a ship. It's like, that's what it's like. If the car's not moving, the steering wheel is really hard to turn because you don't have nothing helping you turn the wheel. With power steering, you got that thing helping you turn it. Oh, yeah, this fucking thing turned with my finger. Woo, woo, woo. Same thing with a rudder and a prop. If you have a prop on a boat, it's like turning a 57 Chevy with no power steering because the prop has to propel the boat in the direction you want it to turn. So once you get the prop kind of turning a little bit, it'll make the tail end of the boat move around how you want it to move. Once you put a rudder on it, right, a rudder, that thing, you can just turn it sideways and it'll make the boat flip around, you know, like, whoa. So when they first gave me the boat, it only had a prop on it. It was stuck at customs the first day we had to shoot. 6 a.m., we're getting ready to shoot. I have to do a scene where I pull up on this thing and, you know, I do a 60-degree thing and I turn this thing. And plus, they gave me a lake boat. I was filming in a lake boat on the ocean. So it wasn't a scarab. It didn't have that V in the front to cut the waves. It just went boom, boom, and just up and down the wave, right? And it had a 308 Chevy engine in it, so it's pretty fucking fast. And it was just a nightmare. That day after filming, they had a barge that we had to go to that took us back to the shore. And I got on that barge, and literally my whole body was shaking. My hands were shaking. My body was shaking. I couldn't stop shaking because I'd never driven a boat before. And I told them that, and I told them I need time to practice with the boat, and they didn't give me any time to practice. They brought it at like 7:45, and we were supposed to start filming at 6, as soon as the sun came up. They brought it around 7:45, so everybody was waiting on the boat to arrive. So as soon as the boat arrived, we had to start filming. Well, I just got in the boat and drove it out into the ocean. I just went and drove around for like, you know, just drove it around because I'd never driven a boat before. I'm like, it can't be that hard. So I go drive this boat around. I'm realizing, okay, I got this. I got this. I got this. And then when we get back, they go, okay, Glenn, here's the shot. They had these, I don't know what you would call them, these outcroppings from a barge, these steel outcroppings from a barge. There was a camera and a guy at the end of this outcropping. And then there was another outcropping, and there was a camera and a guy at the end of that outcropping. And then there was a camera over by the boat, over by the oil tanker. And I had to go in between these outcroppings and make a 90-degree turn right at the boat. But I had to come in fast, right? And the boat didn't have a level on it, right? Like regular sea scarabs, they have a level on them. You get on it, and it stays on the water and cuts through the water. This lake boat didn't have a level on it, so it just stood straight up in the air as soon as I got on the gas. Right around 40 knots or whatever, it would lay down. The front end would lay back down. So when I'm first take off, I'm on the steering wheel looking over the side of the boat to see where I'm going because the front of the boat is in the way. Can't see over the front of the boat. It's up above my head. I'm looking over the side of the boat. Got to make this 90-degree turn, grab Sandra out the water, grab Jason out the water, and then take off. I literally drove that boat around more than anybody else on that set. So we went home Christmas, came back New Year's, and they had switched the boat. They put a 505 Cadillac engine in it, and they put a rudder on it. So I'm thinking this boat still got this 308, and it's got this prop on it. And I get in this thing, and I take off, and I go to turn it, and the motherfucker just goes, zoom. And literally, the boat made a 90-degree turn right there where I started turning. I almost killed everybody in the boat, bro. But I got used to it. I drove the boat so much, and I learned how to drive that boat so much that there were times in the movie where they were filming the airplane, and the scarabs couldn't keep up with the airplane. They needed the speedboat to keep up with the airplane. So a couple of those shots in Speed 2 where they're chasing the plane, that's me driving the boat. That's how cool Jan de Bont is. He was like, Glenn, you drive this boat better than anybody. How about you drive while we film? I was like, okay, let's do it, dude. And I wasn't even supposed to be at work, bro. And I would be out there driving that boat, chasing the fucking thing. Drove everybody back in to the dock and everything. They all rode with me, dude. All right, man, we had such a good time, bro.
I don't know about we, Glenn. But I love all of that because it's such a great bookend to his story about the Jaguar and the stick shift and all of that. One more from Glenn before we move on because I really just can't help myself.
Jason Patrick crashed in Speed 2 on a motorcycle. Zakes was afraid to go down and check on him because he went off a cliff somewhere in the Pacific Palisades, Marina Del Rey or something. Like they were up on the road and he had to drive around this corner and he was driving too fast and the motorcycle went over a cliff with him on it. And it was by the grace of God that he didn't get hurt because there was nothing down there but rocks. And there was one area where there was like this 6-foot by 8-foot kind of like bush. And he landed on the fucking bush. If he'd have landed anywhere else, they say he would have been dead. They said it was like 30 feet or something like that. Doing like 60 on a motorcycle. He went off a cliff and flew 30 feet in the air.
All right, moving on to the crew. Jan ended up using a number of different department heads this time around on Speed 2. The cinematographer was Twister DP Jack Green. The production designers were Bill Kinney and, also from Twister, Joseph Nimick III. The costumes were designed by Louise Frogley. The film was edited by Alan Cody. But one guy stuck with Jan. The guy who got his big break on Speed thanks to Jan. Composer Mark Mancina.
The only time I really had a hard time with him was on Speed 2. Because it was a strange thing. Speed was so successful. And then a couple of years later, we did Twister. And that was great. And I kept asking him, how come you're not going to do a Speed 2? It just seems like a no-brainer, you know? Mm-hmm. And he kept saying, we got to find the right script. I don't want to take that franchise and do something stupid with it. I want to find the right idea, the right concept. So, you know, of course, I would think about it and think, well, it could be on a spaceship or it could be, you know, who knows, right? When he came to me and said, we have the idea and it's amazing and you're going to write another opera, I went to go see it at his office and it was a ship. And I went, ships are slow. How's it going to be speed? I was like, it's taken 5 years and they came up with a ship. Like that would be like the first thing you'd say. And you'd say, well, that will never work. You know, let's try a motorcycle. Let's try it, you know? And so I was in this weird place because I love Jan and he gave me my break and I love his work. He's an unbelievable cinematographer. So I wasn't going to say, no, I'm not doing it. You know, then he told me Keanu wasn't going to do it. And I went, holy shit. You know, now what do I do? I mean, I can't not do it, but I don't know how I'm going to make this ship feel like it's out of control musically. And so I really struggled on that score. I don't think the score was that good. It was so difficult. He had a scene, he finally cut it, but it was 11 minutes long. It was 11 minutes of people getting off the ship in rafts. And I had to score that scene so many times because he just felt it wasn't exciting. And I was like going,
it's not the music.
But Jan, I can't, you know, people are walking on the deck, getting life jackets on. I'm doing the best I can do. And he goes, well, it's got to get better, got to get better. But he never said, you know, I should cut this scene shorter. He never said that. So we didn't clash. Like I wasn't, you know, upset with him. I was just frustrated. And I'm sure he was frustrated too. Because I think he was hoping that the music would really make you go, oh, this is incredible, regardless of what you're seeing, you know? And I just couldn't pull that off. I think what it was one of those things where they had started it and they had put money into it and the wheels had already been going for too long. And then once I got on board, it was already going to go in the tank, but it was like, well, you know, let's try to save the ship.
A few more things here. I asked Jan if there was a moment when he realized things were completely out of hand during this production. After all, there were reports as early as February of 1997 suggesting a disaster on the horizon.
I think the budget was out of hand, yeah. And then also, in the middle of the movie, where I think we were in Florida, and we had rented this cruise ship, and there's the whole crew on it, and did a lot of the interiors on that, and exteriors, and a little bit in the harbor, and then in the ocean. And then we were just outside, as a hurricane came to us, Florida, and we got really stuck in the hurricane, which made so many people so sick. And we wanted to get out that ship so quickly, but we had just left, and it was a horrible experience for everybody.
I also asked him if there was one major thing he would do differently if he were faced with Speed 2 today.
Well, one is that you have to get the cast absolutely set before you start a movie. Number one, no? And that you don't have to really keep casting till 2 days before shooting. That's really bad. There's nobody, no producers who had experience with ships. We should have hired somebody who had done movies with ships and who had experience with how that. I mean, our producers did fine. They did great, but they were never ahead of the curve. You know what I mean? They never could foresee what might happen, you know, might go wrong next morning or 2 days later or problems with the ship. It was learning while working, which is not a good idea to make a movie. I was physically completely exhausted because it was so long, and then there's so much physical work to be done on that movie, and the effects, and then all the difficulty with actors, and I don't know, I remember all the issues actors were arguing and about things, and they didn't want to come to the set or because they couldn't get along with each other. Normally, that's things that you never even think about as that this might happen. But I think still, with what we had to do and with all the endless restrictions and with the fact that there was really not that great a chemistry between the two cast members, it was, I think, the best we could do. I think that the studio should have canceled the movie, this is my opinion. I suggested it multiple times, but unfortunately, it didn't happen. They still made money, by the way.
Sorry, another record scratch. We already heard Bill Mechanic say the movie lost $50 million. Jan de Bont is saying Speed 2 is in the black?
Ultimately in the black, yeah. I still get checks from them. It's just like, and not right away, it took a long time. The studios are really good at splitting responsibility. Of course, I could have done a lot better, but in those days, you could really sell movies still to many countries. You got this and you got three or four, you know, lesser movies at the same time. And then it basically makes those lesser films come into black too. So it takes a longer time to make money because you share the income as like three or four of the package movies that they sell to all the different countries.
Okie dokie. Anyway, as we approach the end here, let me throw former Fox exec Jorge Saralegui into the mix, because he shouldn't escape this grinder. Yes, he was at the studio and he was on the movie. Here's what he had to say about it in our initial conversation.
That movie, obviously, as you might imagine, has 8 million stories. They're all sad. the person I probably feel the worst for is Jason Patrick. I just remember that was his, okay, I'm going to step away from the indie, arty, you know, moody kind of things and go for it. And this is the one I'm going to do it with. And he talked to me about it, and he actually never got pissed off with me. I mean, partly because we were, you know, trying to do rewrites to make it better. But he was like, can't you do something? This is a really bad script. Of course, I'm thinking, yeah, it's a horrible script. And he was just sitting there, but he was actually pretty professional. I mean, given how how problematic the whole thing was. But anyway.
That was all I got out of Jorge at the time, and so I reached back out to him later on in the hopes of getting a fuller picture of Speed 2 from his and the studio's perspective. Alas, I committed a cardinal sin. I told him exactly what I wanted to talk to him about, rather than casually saying, you know, hey, let's hop back on the phone for a Speed follow-up. Still, I think his emailed response is as instructive as any interview could possibly be. He wrote, "Actually, Chris, I'll be skipping the Speed 2 conversation altogether. A failure like that boils down to a long line of pointing fingers with no heroes, including me, other than Sandra Bullock. I don't see any upside for me to engage in that." Well, fair enough. There is an upside, though, of a sort. And it's the fact that Speed is such a great movie that it overshadows any and all of the sequel's failures. Frankly, I would wager that most people simply forget that there was ever a Speed 2. And thank God for tiny miracles. Here's Bill Mechanic.
People forget, yes, there's no question. You don't forget when you're in the studio because you know it's a sequel and, you know, the decision to go ahead was if it just does what a sequel does, so it's not as good and it does two-thirds or whatever the rule of thumb was, then we'll still come out, which that's just not true. Because if it's not good, you don't do anything, which is what happened. But in terms of public perception, if you ask people about Speed 2, they go, oh, yeah, maybe I forgot, you know. Versus Speed is, you know, if it's on, you're going to watch it.
Unlike Speed, Speed 2 was not, alas, an Oscar-winning movie. It was, however, a Razzie-winning movie. And look, I despise the Razzies and find them to be a blight on the industry. So I'm breaking my own rules by even invoking them, but I guess it's worth mentioning that this movie was nominated for 8 Razzies. Worst Picture, Worst Director, Worst Actress, Worst Supporting Actor, Worst Screenplay, Worst Original Song, My Dream by Shaggy, and Worst Screen Couple. And it ultimately won Worst Remake or Sequel. Truly, it's one of the worst movies of all time. I really don't know what else to say. Watch it if you feel you must. Take from it what you might. But I think it's best for all involved to leave Speed 2 Cruise Control in the past.
I haven't given it much more thought afterward. We did the best we could.
Next week on 50 Miles Per Hour. We made it through Speed 2, so let's pause to bask in the funk of other franchise misfires.
The second one felt like a bad ripoff of The Craft. And this was one of those ones where it's like, well, we want to make a movie for the fans, but we just don't think that much of them.
I had hope that with more resources, with more goodwill, that she would turn something special out. And then I see the movie, and it is utterly ill-conceived. Join me and Rotten Tomatoes Awards editor Jacqueline Coley as we dig in and discuss our most disappointing movie sequels of all time.
It was just terrible. People really underestimated the chemistry of Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
This was like a lit down that was not on the heels of like, I hope this doesn't suck. It was on the heels of this is gonna fucking rock because I loved the trailer. But I didn't understand it ultimately. I was just like, what are we doing? You're getting way too meta. All of that and more next week right here on 50 Miles Per Hour. Thanks so much for listening. 50 Miles Per Hour is written, produced, and edited by yours truly, Chris Tapley. You can find us on Twitter at 50mphpod. I'm at Chris Tapley, that's Chris with a K. You can also catch every episode and more at our website, 50mphpodcast.com. If you dug the show, please like and subscribe and do all the things. We'll see you next time.